Today I want to talk about carry a purse. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 22. And just two verses from there. And it says, Then Jesus asked them, When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. And he said to them, But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples. I don't know how many of you remember the story when he sent his disciples out by two to witness in the surrounding communities. And he wouldn't let them take any extra provision with them, not extra shoes, clothing, bag, nothing. They just had to go like they were. And so he's asking this question, Do you guys remember that? And he says, Did you lack when you did that? They go, Man, not a thing. And so Jesus asked him a question, Do you remember? And, you know, sometimes when you feel blue, do you ever feel blue? More than once a week? Once a day? I don't know. Sometimes when you feel blue, when you feel defeated or discouraged, you need to remember the time that God did something fantastic in your life. And why would God help you only to let you be defeated later? And so if God has ever helped you at all, you can be assured that he's interested in seeing it through. Why would he come into your life and your heart and change your life and only to watch you go down in flames? Now, I'm sure there's more than a few of us here that can testify that Jesus Christ changed our lives. I wasn't born a preacher. I was kind of on a bad path. I've been a Christian now and trying to live for God. Certainly not perfect, but I've been living for God for so long that sometimes I think people think I was born with angel wings. And I'm just telling you, that isn't my background. I wasn't one of those guys. I wish I had been. I had the opportunity to be. I got saved at 12. I knew Jesus. I had a powerful relationship with him, but you know, I didn't stay true to that. And so in some ways, I feel guiltier about the things that I did than some hardened criminal, because some of them didn't know Jesus and I did. But it's good to remember because it brings us back to the mind of victory. And you know, so when you're down, if you recount, I encourage people to make a list of the things God has done for them, because when you start thinking on those, if you're in a bad place, it can kind of pull you back up out of that place. It pulls you up out of the pit. And if you've let your memories be stolen from you, if you've let your victories be stolen from you, well, see, that's a bad thing. That's why we need to recount them and remember them and think on them. And because it pulls you back to kind of a different reality. And this is why Satan attacks our memories. And sometimes, you know, we talk about, you know, some miracle that God did for us that was so, we were so excited about it. Put a skip in our step. And now, decades later, sometimes we go, well, did that really happen? And you know, so the devil attacks our memories, and he tries to take away the good things that God has done for us. If you were never going to face discouragement, you wouldn't need to remember. And so Jesus wouldn't have asked his disciples the question. You need to remember the victories that Jesus has given to you. Not the defeats that the devil has thrown at you. Because there's going to be times when you're going to feel defeated. And by remembering your defeats, it'll just multiply your distress. And, you know, I don't know how low you've ever felt, but I felt pretty low. And, you know, and so when you start down that path, I mean, it can get out of hand real fast. It can get out of perspective real fast. But by remembering victories, you see what happens is you'll diffuse your distress. It'll bring some sanity back to your mind. And that's important for me, because when I'm distressed, I'm not a good person. And I'm not a helpful person. I'm not a very encouraging person. I need to be able to keep my sanity about me, the things that God has done for me. See, when Jesus was walking on earth with his disciples, he extended protection to them. And he dispatched his disciples into the various cities around them. And they went out in pairs. And Jesus didn't let them take any extra provisions. And I don't know what that was like for them, but I am pretty sure that they were pretty apprehensive. I mean, at that particular time, they were not impervious to doubt and unbelief. They weren't just these walking balls of faith. They were still cutting their teeth. And yet they went out and they had this glorious experience to where everything was provided, where the spirits and demons submitted to them, where people were healed. And so they kind of had this divine thing going on, and they came back. And they were excited. And they found out that they were completely protected. But the deal was, you see, at that time, that wasn't their faith. That was divine impartation of Jesus' faith over them. Having experienced divine provision and protection, they returned all excited because they experienced what Jesus experienced every day. And that excited Jesus. To see them walking in victory was his greatest joy. And the Bible describes that scene. And Jesus wants to see you walk in victory also. He wants you to experience that kind of confidence in what he intends for you. But the thing about that is, even though Jesus is talking to them, he says, you guys remember this? You see, because things are about ready to change. Jesus is just about ready to go to the cross. And he's going to be leaving the earth. And so they found out that they were completely protected. But that wasn't going to be like that anymore. Jesus was no longer going to be there to watch over them. Now the Holy Spirit would come, but they would need their own faith. The Comforter would come, but in order for them to have victory in their life, it would be their faith. Jesus wasn't going to be there to do that for them. And we use the example of Jesus' disciples going out, you know, as lessons in faith. You know, as a lesson how to trust God. But discerning, you know, always in our lives what that looks like, that isn't always the easiest thing to do, because many times in our lives, you know, things don't work out so perfect. Faith makes all things possible. And so when you extend that out to its logical conclusion, it seems like we should be able to enjoy a life like those disciples experienced when they went out. This story is an example of what it's like to be under the wings of Jesus. It's what we look forward to as Christians. But Jesus said that in the world that we would have troubles. And it won't always be like the time that Jesus sent out his disciples, not for us. There is help if you don't have a purse, but take one if you have it. There will be a time when we won't have to face troubles any longer. We will not take purses with us when we go someplace. We will not take spare clothing. We will not take spare shoes. But that isn't the time that we live in today. So do you remember Peter walking on the water? Okay, and he went towards Jesus. And what happened? Well, at first he got out of the boat and he walked on water, correct? But after, at first he believed, he walked on the water, but then he doubted and he began to sink. By faith, Peter walked on the water for a moment until he doubted. And he began to sink, but what didn't he do? He didn't drown. You see, when we doubt and sink, we drown. But Peter didn't drown. Did he not drown because of his faith? No, that was Jesus' faith. Jesus reached out and took hold of him. The faith of Jesus saved Peter, not Peter's faith. Just like it was the faith of Jesus that protected the disciples when he sent them out in pairs. But Jesus is leaving. He's going to leave the earth. And he's going to return to the Father. Now he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But now we take a purse, because when we doubt, we sink. Just like Peter sank. You know, we will need to be saved by natural means when we sink. In other words, when you're sinking in doubt, someone will need to toss you a flotation device. Now, if Jesus was here, when you doubt, he could take your hand and he could just keep you going. But he's not here. The Comforter is here. He helps us. He encourages us. But the only thing that will save us is the faith that we have. Now, God isn't mad. If our faith was perfect like Jesus' faith, we wouldn't need a purse. But if we don't have faith, Jesus is not here physically to take hold of us. And so because of our weakness, and trust me, Jesus was aware of our weakness, because of our weakness, we need a purse. If you had perfect faith, you wouldn't need to go to a doctor. But your faith isn't perfect, and so you probably will. If you had perfect faith, you wouldn't need a sword. You'd walk right out of any dangerous situation. But your faith isn't perfect, so you need to carry a sword. And I realize that this can be confusing to us. You know, because we teach faith, you know, in a particular way. But then we don't account for our weaknesses. But I'm telling you that Jesus did. We preach faith. We have a mental picture of how it should work. But we find many times that we sink and drown. And so we're forced to kind of reconcile that. And so, we're forced to turn to natural means. Then we stand around confused because what we think should work, what we've been taught, and what the Scriptures seem to indicate doesn't match up with our experiences. And so which is it? Do I go to the doctor or not? Do I take a purse or not? I mean, faith makes it like Jesus is here. Faith makes it like so you can walk on water. Faith makes it so you don't have to take a purse. But we don't always have that kind of faith. And so for us, I guess the answer is both. We want to grow in faith, but in the meantime, we carry a purse with us. Trust Jesus, but carry a purse if you have one. If you don't have one, then you only got one choice. See, understanding and discerning what we should do in the time that we live in, I mean, it's just not always apparent to us. And, so we need to keep growing in our knowledge. And Jesus doesn't give up on you. He doesn't give up on me. Jesus doesn't not give up on you because you have a purse or because you go to a doctor. That doesn't make you a bad person. He understood that when he went back to heaven that we would need natural things. Because of our weaknesses, we would need a purse. And so he's telling them, he says, you remember the time? You didn't have a purse or anything extra? What happened? Man, we was perfect. It was wonderful. It was great. He says, but now I'm telling you, carry a purse. Jesus doesn't want us to be destroyed. If that takes a purse, then so be it. My understanding of these things, I'm going to tell you, it's not perfect. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we're looking through fog. But I see glimpses of truth as I study the Word. My understanding grows. And so, what I know is this, is that troubles should not confound us. And I know that one day, it will not be like this. I know that one day we won't need purses and doctors and all these kinds of things. One day it will be like the time that Jesus sent the disciples out without purse or extra provisions. One day we will never sink or drown. I know that the Holy Spirit is here to help us in our weaknesses. He's here to get us through every single day, whether by miracle or by purse. God loves us. He loves you. I know that even though Jesus is not here to take hold of my hand physically, that He's here through the Holy Spirit to take hold of my heart and my mind. I know that the church is His body, and that the church is, should fulfill the role that He fulfilled when He was here. In other words, when someone is sinking, the church should be able to reach out and take their hand. If somebody doesn't have faith, the church should have faith over them. That the benefits that Jesus provided when He was on earth to His doubting disciples is the benefit that the church is supposed to provide for us when we doubt. The protection that Jesus extended over His disciples while He was here should be extended over us through the church. But I know that the church isn't perfect. Still, we give up more than we can imagine when we are not under the covering of a church. And you know, the person who thinks they don't need the church, I'm telling you, they need it more than ever. It's just a lack of understanding. It's a lack of understanding what we need. And that's a mistake. And because of that, a lot of people are destroyed. A lot of people sink and drown. I know that more than ever, we need knowledge that comes through His Word. We need to be conscious of the Word that's written in our hearts so that we need to have our minds renewed. I know that goats and the sheep are being separated. That process has started, and we need to get in the sheep pen, not in the goat pen. I know that being indifferent to the things of God is a recipe for disaster. He's not bad. He's not mad, but it's just not a good plan. And that God does not want disaster in our lives. I know that. I know that the trumpet is sounding. I know that the invitations have been sent out. And now is the time to come close to God. Those kinds of things I know. I know that casting out spirits takes faith. And that there was an occasion when the disciples could not cast out a demon. They'd been sent out by twos, and they all were able to cast out demons. All the spirits submitted to them. They had perfect provision, perfect power, or whatever it was. But there was one day when they couldn't cast out a demon, a spirit. And when they asked Jesus about it, He said, "This kind only comes out with much prayer." So when our faith seems weak, I know we need to pray. I know that Jesus completed His work on earth, but that He's coming back to complete it in us. I know that the physical universe is like a scab on something eternal, and that all pain and suffering and aging and death are nothing more than eternity pulling away from what's temporary. Let me explain to this. When you go to the mirror and you look in the mirror and you see a wrinkle, that's a scab drying up. And it takes a while. But that's, you know, your spirit is breaking free from this carnal world, from this flesh, from this is pulling back, and that's what it looks like. And sometimes we get distressed about it, but we ought to be excited. You know, you're about ready to be birthed into the eternal heavens. You know, your spirit's about ready to be separated from what's temporary. Become a part of something that's eternal. So when you go all through all these things, you know, when we put all this attention nursing our scab, we're nursing the wrong part. The scab's going to fall off. The part that's eternal and alive is going to go on forever and ever. Healed. of all deficiencies. Just how you look at it, how you think about it. Life is being peeled back from death. Life in eternity is about to be liberated. The whole universe that we live in is a big scab. And the things of God, the eternal nature of God, it's going to be pulled away from what's temporal, temporary. And it will pass. And what's eternal will be what's left. Praise God. It's good news. And, you know, I don't know what it's like for a baby in the womb. But I suppose on the day of its birth, it's probably kind of distressful. Probably have no clue what's going on. And sometimes we don't have any clue what's going on. But you know what? We're being birthed into eternity. And we may cry and we may moan and we may be distressed and we may be confused. But I'm going to tell you something. God's doing a great thing. Life and eternity are about to be liberated. The scab's about ready to fall off. In that, there's great hope. But it does call for patience. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. But it's a good thing. And as Christians, you know, we need to know what God is planned for us and the time that we live in. About these things, and not to be so confounded because we face troubles, because we find ourselves, you know, kind of hooked up to a scab. You know, how good can it be? And so you just have to, you know, think about the eternal love of God and know that great things are happening, and don't separate yourself from the protection that God wants over your life. You're not a one-man show, a one-woman show. We all need each other. And when you're here, you become part of the body that provides protection over the weak members, over the person who's sinking. But when we're not here, then those people just suffer. And so that's why we've been talking about Yodam, or whatever you want to call it, the year of the meeting, when, you know, this idea that we need one another, that we're a part of the body, and that when we're not a strong body, that it's not just us that suffers, but all suffers. You see, Jesus was going away, but he had a plan. He had the Comforter in the church. The church was his body. And so when we live in these troubling times, as the scab begins to fall away, you know, when there's suffering and pain and distress and confusion and all of those kinds of things, the body needs to be healthy. It needs to be there to help us in our time of need. And it's just because of lack of understanding that we suffer as much as we do. But that's not was not God's plan. That's not what He wants. He wants us to be taken care of. He wants us to be saved from drowning. He wants us to have a spirit of boldness. He wants us to have an optimistic view of our future. We're the only ones with a future. But man, if you're afraid of that future, I don't know. I don't know what's left. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? I'll tell you what, there's so much more going on than what meets the eye. He's doing something so much greater. And I hope you'll just draw the line in the sand and just decide to stay true to God. And when you have weak moments, you know, reach out. That's what the church is for. That's what your brothers and sisters are for. And if they're not perfect, well, then that's when you're going to have to be there for them. And so you never know how that works. But God wants us to love one another. And in that rests all of our hope.